Hello, my name is Sam Walsh, and right now I'm sitting down with Ryan Olcott from Sea Castra. He just finished up performing a live in-studio session right here in our studios at Radio K. You can check him out live this Saturday at Moon Palace Books. I'll be playing with Finesse, Radio Ali, and DJ Devada Don. Ryan, thank you so much for being here.
Thanks for having me again.
Yeah, definitely. Where are you from, and what is it known for?
Oh, where am I from? Like, as a child, or, yeah, I guess Oxford, Ohio. What is it known for? Ohio, whenever I looked at a map as a child, and they had those maps that had icons on each state, for some reason there was always a rubber tire.
Really?
Because there was a lot of, I guess, rubber manufacturing.
Sure.
And Buckeyes, I guess. And maybe that's about it.
Rubber
tires and Buckeyes.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
What was the first show that you ever went to?
First rock and roll show? First rap show? First any show?
I mean, it goes any show. We'll do any show.
Oh gosh, I suppose. Probably. My brother's Suzuki performance recital, probably when I was three.
Suzuki performance.
Violin.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
I'm just thinking first concert.
Yeah. What was your first rock show then?
Rock show.
Yeah.
That
you remember.
The first rock show I was allowed to go to, my first official rock show that I went to, and that my parents know of, is to see Sting and Branford Marsalis at, that was the only bridge of rock and jazz that we had at the time that I could share with my father. So,
gotcha.
Of course, you know, Sting liked jazz.
Yeah.
And what was that, Dream of the Blue Turtles or something like that? Somewhere around there when, yeah, Branford was horning it up on stage. My dad had to see it. So, yeah, I guess that was it.
Interesting. What was, or if you could play a concert anywhere in the state, where would you play it? Do you have a favorite venue here in Minnesota?
Well, I'm very much looking forward to play Moon Palace.
Yes, I have yet to, there you go. I have yet to go there. How is that?
It's great. It's a bookstore.
Mm-hmm.
And they have a deli. And and the stage looks great. It's and people are like going to the place.
Yes, so, I've noticed that. It seems very intimate. It seems like it'd be a very good place, especially with the genre that you're performing. It's not like you're like listening to drums, a full drum set 2 feet away from the actual performer.
It's true.
Yeah. Could you tell me a little bit about how the Sea Castra project started and how it came to be?
It was, I guess, a rekindled fascination with four tracks that I had maybe a handful of years ago that I wanted to experiment with. And at the same time, my brother, Ev, had a software company that he was making a vocoder, a piece of software for an iPad that he needed me to, you know, test it out and check it out. Which that and kind of, you know, the iPad and the four track, I just kind of had to do something with that at the immediate time. And, you know, they wanted me to make a demo song for this app. I did, and it was, and they liked it. And they were like, we're going to have this release show for this app, and we want you to perform. And I'm like, well, I guess I got to make a set. And so it was kind of a forced issue at the time, but it was, I embraced it. It was like kind of like the perfect challenge to kind of like see what I could do with a vocoder and a four track. And
yeah.
And some found sound and some stuff.
Yeah, and now a little bit a while later, how many albums or EPs do you have under this project, right?
I'm about ready to release the third. I have a fourth that I didn't release way early, but there's like two or three more ahead that are, you know, it's quite a few. Yeah, there's a lot of stuff I've been able to.
So I think embraced is a pretty light word for
that.
Yeah,
I know.
You kind of took that and
it was the perfect
excuse
for me to kind of get back into music, because I self-proclaimed this hiatus of playing music. I was really rather mad and just, you know, ornery about my Mystery Palace days.
Yeah.
And I was like, I quit music.
Sure.
And 3 years later, I guess that was kind of like the sign for me to do it again. It was nice. It gently brought it all back into, you know, around. I didn't have to really play with the band. Had some experimental gear that I figured out, and it became just, I don't know, less stressful. Less process.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a process, but as opposed to Mystery Palace, which was a really deep process of making music, which was very stressful. This is a little less stressful.
Can you walk us through a little bit about what that process entails? And I think if you started with your on-stage setup, that might be
sure.
a good way to go about it.
Well, yeah, in a nutshell, it's I sing into an iPad, which goes into a mixer. The mixer sends that signal to is that like a sidechain compressor and maybe a filter. Then it goes back into the mixer. All that stuff, the sidechaining and all that compression, and this is geek talk, but it's triggered by the four track, by some audio sounds that I have on there to do all those, you know, hard cuts and gating vocal things that happen.
Yeah, when you say four track, for those people who don't know,
a four track is a cassette recorder. Yes. It's four tracks, as opposed to like, you know, just if you don't know what a four track is, you have two channels on each side of a tape. You have a stereo side and a stereo side. That's four channels. Basically, a four track just reads those all the same side, and you get 1, 2, 3, 4 separate channels that, you know, that's what it is in a nutshell, if any of you were confused out there.
Interesting. What inspired you to perform this way from tape? Because the majority of instruments that come in that have a backing track, I guess if you will call it, will just usually bring in something from a laptop or mm-hmm. something. What made you feel like that this was the way to go for this project?
It embodies the spirit of the sound, you know. It's fun. It's definitely dummy-er proof. I don't know. People can make a connection. If there's not much that I'm really doing but kind of pseudo-dancing on stage, you know, I can pick up a cassette and pop it in and, you know, actually someone in the audience might laugh and go, oh my God, he's using a cassette. And it kind of comes down to that sometimes. Like, dance, like, ah, it's awesome. I loved your cassette show. And they're just blown away that they just, the sheer fact that they had a cassette, that I had a cassette on stage. They were kind of like, and, you know, I'll use that to my advantage. But at the same time, it's not a lot of setup. I don't have to configure things and ports and stuff like that. And I just plug it in, virtually play. And it sounds the way I want it to. And some of these tapes are getting really old, and I can tell they're just sounding gnarlier as the shows go on. And it's
is that a good thing?
It's fun, yeah. It adds to the sound as far as I'm concerned.
I love that. I remember the first time that I saw you, I felt the same way. I was like, you know, what the heck is going on here? Yeah, yeah, it's very, very interesting.
Yeah,
it's
the tape music itself, it just sounds like a bad tape. And it's just, you know, I might as well perform with a bad tape machine. So
yeah. There you go.
Yeah.
You've released two EPs since we last spoke here on Radio K. Your new EP comes out tomorrow. Could you tell us a little bit about both of them? I heard that they had...
Yeah, I wrote semi-simultaneously a set of records. The one I released on Halloween was kind of a darker record. It was kind of a minimal techno guitar shoegaze record with vocoder. C. Castro was originally going to be that sound before I got sidetracked with a bunch of R&B ideas.
Oh, interesting.
And yeah, the first few songs I wrote were, you know, kind of, if not on that EP, ones that sound like that. And then I couldn't do both on stage. It's one was, you know, I had a few dark songs and guitar, and all of a sudden I was going to be like, ugh. You know, it was a little too much, too extreme. So I just kind of forked them off and made two EPs at the same time. More or less, and it just seemed like I needed to kind of split that C. Castro two different ways just to confuse people a little more.
Of course, right?
Yeah,
I think it's worth noting the names of them, right? So Parallel Murder Verse, right? And then Parallel Party Verse.
Right.
I absolutely love that. Parallel Party Verse comes out tomorrow, right? So you can check that out on Bandcamp. I've got one last question for you. Can you tell me what is there any current news involving Pitch Records? What's going on with that situation?
It step by step, day by day sort of thing. It's slow and go, but, you know, making progress. We have we're going to release a bunch of tapes, CDs, over the next few months. There's like this one, and there's probably at least three, maybe four other records that we're going to release pretty soon in the next year. We're going to, you know, getting some distribution happening, going to just try some touring out some more, and I don't know, just take it kind of casual, because... yeah, no need to stress over it. But, you know, it's a bedroom operation. But we try to stay active every day. And there's going to be something monthly, if not a release, a show of ours or just to stay active and, you know, kind of present our new materials and see what people have to think. But it's nothing too major exciting happening. No, like, oh, we got invited to play a huge festival. Nothing like that or anything. But,
well, one day.
Yeah, one day. But either way, it's, yeah, things are chill. And we're just kind of like, you know, hanging out, being dudes and dudettes in the scene, you know?
I love it.
Yeah.
All right. Well, you just heard from Sikastra live in her studios here at Radio K. You can check them out online or in real life at Moon Palace Books tomorrow. We'll be playing with Finesse, Radio Ali, and DJ Devada Don. But for now, let's get back to the music right here on Radio K, Beale College Radio.